darkness now or how you walked in it in the past and how God got you through that circumstance. And it's just a wonderful thing to know we're all on the same page together walking through these hard times, and you have the same stories and the same hardships. In fact, I think one of the interesting things about being able to go on a gospel meeting is I get to know all of these people in a place that I've never been before, and find that the story here is the same story as all of the other people of God in various cities and where I'm at in my home congregation, of people trying to be faithful, walking through hard times, needing hope, continuing their walk and fighting on to be with God. And it's exciting to get to share those stories with you, and it's why I wanted to share some of my story with you so that we could be on the same page about the things that we're seeing and the things that we're dealing with and how we're trying to walk with God together. Our text tonight, as on the screen, is 2 Corinthians 5. You can have your Bibles there. We'll be sitting in 2 Corinthians 5 for our study, as we're going to talk tonight now about hope when health fails. One of the things that I think is important for our consideration, especially when you are studying the scriptures, is that sometimes God will give us a purpose statement. He will tell you, here's one of the reasons why you are here. Here is your purpose on earth. And one of them is found here in 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to lift it out of context for a minute, then I'll build the context around it, and then we'll end on this verse tonight. But you'll notice that he just says, now the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a down payment. When you come across purpose statements, especially when God says it to us, it should just perk up our attention that God is telling us, here is why we exist. Even corporations and businesses today have purpose statements or vision statements or things like that to ensure that everything is going according to the plan that is intended by the business. And here it is with God, where God is saying to us, here is the plan. Here is why you're here. Here is one of your great purposes. Now, what I want to do is back up a little bit now into chapter 4 and get a sense of where the Apostle Paul is coming from and some of the things that he talks about as he is unfolding this picture that leads to this great statement about this is our purpose. This is what God has given us to do. You notice back in chapter 4 and begin in, well, let's see. Let's begin back in verse 8. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8. The Apostle Paul says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be displayed in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be displayed in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Now, one of the things I always think is interesting about the Apostle Paul, and you think about his life, and he even describes some of his life here, that when you read like the book of Acts and you think about everything that Paul went through, I mean, you read about Paul imprisoned. You read about Paul and his suffering. You read about him being shipwrecked. You read about him going into Lystra and being stoned to death and being left for dead after being dragged out of the city. I always read that, and I think I would have just said, okay, I'm due some vacation. I'm done. I'm checking out now. I have been stoned, and they thought I was dead. I think I've put in my time, and amazingly, the text says Paul gets back up and goes back into the city. Probably the last thing I would have ever done, he gets right back up and goes in. And you'll notice there in this text, he's talking about how they've been perplexed and persecuted and struck down and carrying in their bodies the death of Jesus. They are experiencing extreme difficulty to such a degree that you might remember, like when the Apostle Paul ends his letter to the Galatians, he will talk about bearing the marks of Christ in his body. And I can only imagine what his body looked like after all that he had given, after all that he endured, after all that he had suffered, after all the pain that he had dealt with. And you're seeing that same thing being described here, is that we are always giving our lives over. Verse 11, we who live are always being given over to death. And I don't know about you, but one of the things that I look at and I wonder about is, Paul, how did you do that? How did you keep giving your physical body over again and again and again so that it would be beaten or that it would be persecuted or in prison, and you just get up and keep going to such a degree that he just says, we're giving our bodies over to death for Jesus' sake all the day long. In fact, verse 12, death is at work within us. How would you like that for your life slogan? That's what their life is just given over to death over and over again. And how the Apostle Paul explains how he's able to do that in experiencing that in his body and giving himself over to that death, I think is really instructive for us as we talk about how to have hope when our health fails. Because you know that Paul is not talking about these things in terms of when I turn 90 and my body's kind of starting to give way and all of that, and here's how I have hope. He's talking about a hope that allows him to throw his physical body into danger in service to Christ. And so the mind that he has about how he is able to do that is a perspective that if we adopt that will give us great hope to not only be able to face death and to face the falling apart of our bodies as time goes on, but even to be willing to give our bodies over to service. So that's what we're going to really look at tonight as he begins to talk about this. And so he speaks of this picture of these physical difficulties and health difficulties that he's gone through for the sake of the gospel, giving his body over to death again and again. But I want you to notice something that he keeps saying in this paragraph. Notice in verse 16 he says, so we do not lose heart. Or some translations, we're not discouraged, or we don't give up. Jump down to chapter 5 and verse 6. So we are always of good courage. And then look at verse 8 of chapter 5. Yes, we are of good courage. Here he is talking about all that they have suffered and all that his body has gone through, and yet he's still able to say in the face of all that, we're not discouraged. We don't lose heart. We don't give up. We continue to maintain our courage. We still have hope. And so how is Paul able to say those things? One of the things that he says is, you'll notice in verse 16 of chapter 4, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Now, have you ever read that and said, that would not be how I would start the sentence about here's why we don't give up or don't lose heart? The outer body is wasting away. Yeah, it is. And then later on in verse 17, this light momentary affliction. Paul, how in the world are you able to look at all the things that you went through and call that a light momentary affliction? I don't know that any of us walk around after being stoned and dragged out of a city and left for dead and beaten, imprisoned, and all those kinds of things, you know, is really just a light momentary affliction. Not the first way. I think I would have been like, you have no idea how bad that was. It was a great lengthy affliction. How is he getting there? How is he able to think about his body in that way? And what he's telling us here is that though our inner self is being renewed, our inner self is being renewed day by day, even though the outer self is wasting away. That is a really interesting way to put forward his hope. And in this lesson, we're going to do four pictures of his hope within two applications. The first picture is this. Even though the outer flesh, even though the body is decaying and wasting away, it's falling apart, it's not doing what it was originally supposed to do, it doesn't do things that way anymore, he says in the process of that, he says our inner self, our inner body, our inner person is being renewed day by day. Have you ever thought about how that's possible? Why does the decaying of the flesh, why does the decay of the body make the inner self be renewed all the more? Isn't that an interesting, like, scale? He says, like, as the body's falling apart, there's supposed to be a renewing of the self that's going on all the more. I think sometimes for us we go, well, as the body's falling apart, my inner self is falling apart along with it. He goes, no. The more my body breaks down, the more my inner self is being renewed all the more. Why? I think one of the things that Paul is trying to express to us in the pictures as they're given here is to remind us that the breaking down of the body reminds us of a very important truth. We are temporary in terms of the flesh. This body was never meant to last forever. And as the body breaks down, it is God's message to us to remind us this isn't what it's all about. It isn't about this world and this life and this physical body. Because if it was, he wouldn't have given us these temporary bodies. He wouldn't give us bodies that would break down. The whole essence of the failing of the body is supposed to remind us and encourage us of this such important truth that we're not supposed to be here. That this is just a temporary stop. This is not the permanent position of where we're going to be. And we sing songs like that. Do we think about when you say, this world's not my home, I'm just passing through, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue? And slow down and think about what you just said. That what's happening here is temporary, and what happens to my body is temporary, and I'm not putting my hope here, but rather I'm looking forward to something else. That's the imagery that the Apostle Paul is giving here, is the more that the flesh breaks down, the more he can depend upon God. The more he realizes his need for God. That as things don't work like they were supposed to with the body, it reminds us all the more how much more we need God. How much more we're longing and thinking about what God has in store for us. That we're looking forward to a greater reality. It all the more erodes a hope from being here. Because isn't it when we're younger that we're invincible and we think we can do anything and all we are concerned about is here, and then when that doesn't really work out very well, you start looking forward to there. I remember being the kid that thought I was invincible, I could do whatever, jump off of anything and all of that. Now that I'm older and I watch the kids, I go, you're going to hurt yourself. You do not want to do that. That is not a good idea. There's an essence of that, of what God is doing as we live in this world and we experience the pain and our bodies are breaking down, is God is intending for that to move us so that there is a renewing of the inner self. That as the outer breaks down, we will all the more want to have this desire to be with God. In fact, you'll notice that's where he exactly goes in chapter 5. Notice chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. I love how he sets this up. Notice in verse 1 he says, We know we have something. This is a huge picture for hope. This is not, I sure wonder that we have something to come. We know that if this tent, this physical body wears down and is destroyed, we know we have a building that has been given to us by God. No question. You see how Paul is able to think through why he is able to give himself in the way that he does. Because what he is picturing for us is that there is this movement away from the desires of the tent to be in the building. Now, this image resonates with me. It might not with you. You might be one of those people. We'll talk afterward if you're one of those people. Here's what I mean. You go camping, right? And you go get your tent. You set up your tent and you're in the tent. And for me, about 5 minutes into being in the tent, I'm ready to get back in the building. Camping is not for me. No interest in it. All the tent does is make me want to get into the building. I want to get in the AC. I want to get away from the bugs. I want away from the mud. I want away from the gross and the dirty and all that. For my wife, roughing it is a 3-star hotel. That is roughing it. That's the way we think about things. But that's the imagery that you have Paul giving is, do you understand that what we're in right now is a tent? You're not in the building. Notice he doesn't use it like you're going to go from one tent to another tent. Oh, yay, I'm glad. No, you're only in the tent now. And as the tent is deteriorating, it is only reminding you of the building that you're going to belong to. Which is somewhat hard for us because it is this stark reminder that we are not this. We're inside of this, however you want to try to picture that. This is just flesh. This is just a tent that you're inside of, that we're going to trade for a building. This is just flesh. This isn't you. This is temporary. God gave you the temporary, and it's wasting away with intention. God made it that way so that we would long for the building. In fact, that's what he says there in verse 2. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. Now, what a picture to say that there's going to be a time when all of this pain and all of this hurt and everything that you deal with your physical body will no longer be that problem. But here's the thing I want to underscore about verse 2. Paul says, we long, we are groaning and longing to put off the tent and get in the building. And I just want to ask as we start this out, is that true? Are we longing for the building and can't wait to get out of the tent? I'm afraid too often we make decisions that are all about the tent, not about the building. We're so focused on the tent and maintaining the tent and living in this world and living with all the physical things here, here, and here that we actually don't even long for the building. What we're doing is longing for the tent. That we're so desperate for this physical world and this physical life and all of our riches and possessions and way of life that we are just so consumed by the tent that we don't long for the building. One of the reasons Paul is not discouraged, that he doesn't lose heart but is of good courage, is because his life focus was all about the building. His focus wasn't on the tent. It wasn't about the preservation of the body, but longing to be able to put off the tent and to receive the building that comes from God. That was his longing and that was his hope. And that's where you have verse 5 coming in this scene. Notice that the passage that was just read, that I just read for you in verse 5, he who has prepared us for this very thing or this very purpose is God. What is the very purpose that you were made for? Putting off the tent and being in the building. That's what you were made for. God made us with that purpose, to leave the tent and go into the building. In fact, notice the way Paul words this in verse 4, because it is such a beautiful picture that is given to us. In verse 4, for while we are still in the tent, we groan. And I just question, do we groan? Being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Please hear that sentence and see if it makes sense to you. Paul just said, we want to get rid of the tent and go to the building because we want what is mortal to be swallowed up by life. Didn't he say that wrong? Shouldn't he have said that the mortal is swallowed up by death? That would have made sense. We're going to put off the tent, go in the building, let the mortal be swallowed up by death. But notice that's not what he says. What he says is life is going to begin when the mortal, when the flesh, when the tent is set aside. So here's the picture he's giving us. Our purpose is that the mortal is going to be swallowed up by life means it's not that we live now and then die. That's not what he said. He didn't say there's the mortal swallowed up by death. He said what's happening is you're dying now and then you'll live. Do you look at life like that? From the moment we were born, we were dying. From the moment we were born, we began the process of dying. And Paul's view of life is not that what is happening is that you and I are living life now and then sadly one day we're going to die. His point of view is we're dying right now and one day we'll live. We're just in the dying process right now. And that mortal, this body, this tent, this flesh is going to be swallowed up by life. That's why Paul can run around telling everybody that what we need to do while we are in this body then is prepare ourselves for life. Please think about how that is a completely different way of thinking. So much of how we live can be centered around trying to get life now before death. And Paul's perspective was, what I'm doing is living my life and dying to self and giving over the flesh because that's when life will start. We look at it as it's going to be the end of living if we just got to get it all taken care of now. And Paul's going along going, no. Life is out here. And this is the tent. This is temporary. Live your life in such a way so that there is life ahead of you. And that is, I think, is such an important picture of hope that he's giving as he discusses this, is it's not death that's coming, but life is coming. And to look at it in that perspective, the decaying of the body and how he can be crushed and go through all those things is not a negative to him. And it's why it can be this light momentary affliction, because he's ready to go ahead and shed the tent off and go and be in the building. That is his great hope, and that is his great desire. And that's why he can say in verse 6, so we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage and would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. What a picture of hope that's given here. Everybody wants to know. The great fear is, so what happens at death? Here's Paul's answer. You went home, and you're with God. And his view of life is, right now, what makes this life hard is we are away from God. We're away from our home. We're looking forward to going home. The question that we have to challenge ourselves with is, so is this home or is that home? Do we live for this to be the home or that to be the home? Do we think like the Apostle Paul, who says, we're of good courage because we know right now we're away from God, but we know that we're going to be able to be with him and belong with him and join with him and be in that home. It is, that's the picture of what we're longing for. And friends, it is so easy in our prosperity, it is so easy in our time that we live here because of our wealth and our freedom and our circumstances, that what we do is we choose to live for here, and we are content being away from God. And we have to remind ourselves that what we are longing for is to be there and not here. Now, here's what's hard about this. Now I'm going to start being hard. What Paul is trying to show us, number one, is that means with our hope and the faith that we have, then we don't live in such a way that it's about the preservation of our lives at all costs. You ever think about Daniel? Don't pray for 30 days, Daniel. And if you pray for 30 days, you'll be thrown into the lion's den. Who of us doesn't look at Daniel and go, hey, Daniel, just 30 days, man. Just chill for 30 days and you're going to be fine. Don't pray for 30 days. It's only 30 days. What's the big deal? 30 days, just don't pray to God. God will understand. Daniel goes right back up after hearing the decree, opens his window, and prays just like he always did. How'd he do that? He didn't hold on to life at all costs. He didn't look at his life and go, I need to do everything to keep my body alive. He goes, okay, I'm going to pray to God anyway. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bow down to the statue or I'll throw you in the furnace. They didn't bow down. King goes, I'll give you one more chance. When the music plays, just bow down. Who of us are going to go, okay, you know, maybe, you know, God doesn't want me to die, so we'll just pretend. God, sorry, we're just going to pretend. And it'll, they go, we don't care. Throw us in the fire. And God may save us or God may not, but we will not bow down to the king. How does he get to that point? How do they say that? Doesn't hold on at all costs. Stephen, maybe just dial that sermon back just a little bit, buddy. You know, you just not quite turned the screws so hard there at the end. Maybe you don't call them uncircumcised and hard in ears and all that. Just shoot. No. Why? How do they do that? How do all the apostles, from what we know of, except maybe John, all die violent deaths? Because their hope was not in the tent. Their hope was in the building. And so it didn't matter what you did to the tent. You want to throw it in a fire? Fine. You want to throw me in the lion's den? Okay. You want to stone me to death? Fine. How do you get there except this important reality? See, the reason why we fail in that faith is we've lost our hope. Our hope is in the building. And when we can put that hope back on the building, then we're able to look at the opposition and say, do whatever you want to do. Because I know that I'm away from the Lord, and all you're going to do is get me home to be with God, and that's where I'd rather be anyway. So let's go. That's what they're saying. That's the hope that we have, is none of those people of faith clung onto their bodies at all costs. They laid them down. They understood them as tents. And they said, if you want to take them, take them. We're ready to give our lives. And the second important truth that comes out of this, death is the goal of life. Verse 5. He who prepared us for this very purpose is God. The whole point of why we are here is to die. I don't want to break it to you, but I'm going to break it to you. None of us are getting out of here alive. None of us are getting out of here alive. Now, you don't know this, but I got my accounting degree. I was supposed to be an accountant. Something went terribly wrong along the way. But I was an accountant, and one of the things that they teach in getting your degree is that every business has something called a going concern. And what that means is you operate as if it will always exist. The corporation always functions as if it will always be there. You never presume its end. It will always go and go and go. So you do all of your accounting to that. Sometimes we live life like that. Like we're somehow going to dodge this big thing. Like somehow we're avoiding this reality. We are all going to die. We're not avoiding that. God made us for that purpose. No one's going to keep the tent. That's what God has put us here for. That's why we give our lives to Him, is because this is the goal that has been given to us. And think about why this is the goal. Because when you and I finally separate us from this, you're no longer separated from God. This is the thing that keeps us away from Him. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom. This is the thing that's holding us back. This is the separator. And as soon as we can get separated from this, is the moment that we're going to no longer be separated from God. This is the great thing that Paul is proclaiming. How is it that we are persecuted but not forsaken, afflicted but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, struck down and not destroyed, carrying the death of Jesus in our body? Because as soon as I lay that down, I'm not long separated from God anymore. And I hope you want that. I hope you want that. I hope it burns within you to no longer be separated from the Lord. Because that perspective changes everything about how we live our lives, how we look at the fading and wearing out of our bodies, and how we look at death. It changes everything. Let me just give you two applications for this evening, and then I'll be done. Number one, look at verse 9. Paul says, "So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him." This is our goal. Our goal is to please God. Now, this is a huge picture, because if we make it our goal to please ourselves, then there's no hope for the building. If you live for the body now, if you live for the flesh now, there is not that hope of life. It is only by dying now, dying to self, living to please God and not ourselves, that this hope awaits us of actual life. This is such a wonderful idea that helps us in terms of our life before God. Whether at home, whether the way, our great goal is to be pleasing to God. Well, why would we have that motivation to please God? Because God has life ahead of you. If you've grown up in the pews, we've probably just lost the gravity and the weight of hearing the words eternal life. You just have heard it so much. It's like, yeah, we're all going to have eternal life. Think about that. What we're doing now is dying so that we can have life. This isn't living. This is the great facade, the great charade that Satan has put over us. You're living now, and you need to get everything you can out of this life, and you better live for you, and you do what you want, and you better get all you can out of it. And God says, no, you're looking at life all wrong. Life's coming. You haven't even begun to see what life is going to be like. Verse 10. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. The word I would underline is must. Accountability is certain. We will all stand before God and be accountable for everything that we have done with our bodies. We will be accountable for how we have lived our lives. And it challenges us to think in terms like this. So what will you do with your body? What will you do with your time? Will you live as if it's all about here and now? Because if you do, you lose life. But if you will live as dying to him, dying to self and dying to your flesh and living for him, then life is to come. And we all are going to stand before the judgment seat of God and explain, here's what I did with my body. Here's how I lived my time. Here's what I did with my circumstances. Here's what I did with my opportunities. And I hope that we would see what the Apostle Paul is trying to remind us is every day we're closer to that. I know none of us like to think this way. Such a depressing sermon, I know. But every day you're closer to that moment. Every day. But I want you to think about that in terms of hope. Friends, every day you're closer to life. Every day, you're one step closer to enjoying true life. Every day, you're one step closer. Every day that you are willing to make those decisions, like the Apostle Paul is talking about, is that we will live to make it our aim to please him. You are one step closer to life. That is the hope that is set before us. And the question really is simply then, are you living now because you're going to die, Or are you dying now so that you can live? And all the people of faith in the scriptures were all dying now so that they could live. My wife turns on the news from time to time. I've tried to become an avoider of such things anymore. So every once in a while, I'll walk by and there'll be this news report. And maybe you've caught some of these where the reporter is doing this 5-minute segment. And the segment is called, and they do it every week, A Life Well Lived. And if you've caught some of these, you would maybe be amazed by how our world defines a life well lived. One of them was about working hard and they were able to retire early. And now they live in the Florida Keys, walking the beaches, picking up seashells. Life well lived. What? Another one. Played basketball their whole career and led their team to this particular college championship. The first time that college had ever won a championship. And now here she is and she's all by herself and she lives over here in this place as she did basketball for the first time ever. Life well lived. Basketball? I mean, I know I'm in Indiana, but basketball? Life well lived? That's the definition? Living on the beach and picking up shells? Life well lived? What is your definition of life well lived? Is life well lived that you will get so far ahead in life that all you need to do is sit at home and watch Netflix until the day you die? Life well lived. That you'll be able to tour the world and see all the sights? Life well lived. That you'll be able to plant yourself in a recliner and never have to give up as robots feed you all day long. Life well lived. What is exactly the goal of why you're here? Our world is trying to put value on things that have no value whatsoever. And they're trying to tell us, here's your great goal in life. Retire early and sit around for 45 years staring at a television. Life well lived. Really? You know what Paul said was the life well lived? To understand you're dying now and life is coming. To give the body over to the service of God to be pleasing to Him so that you can enjoy eternity to come. How do we have hope when the body is breaking down and failing? How do we have hope when the body has pains and hurts and it stands against us? We remind ourselves again and again, you are not this flesh. This is a tent that God made with the purpose of getting rid of so that you can go to the building. And the more pains and more hurts and more the body breaks down, the inner self is being renewed day by day because you know, I'm only getting closer. I'm only getting closer. I'm only getting closer to life. That's the life well lived. That's the hope that God gives to us to be pleasing to Him. What will you do with your opportunities? Let's go to God in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, I fear that in all of our comforts and our prosperity, in all of our wealth, that we have so easily adopted the definitions of our culture about what life looks like. God, I pray that you would forgive us for when we have put our hope in our bodies, that we've put our hope in this world, when we've put our hope in the pursuits of this world, and we have forgotten the glory that lies ahead. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us to live sacrificial lives. Lord, remind us of our need to give our bodies to you as living sacrifices, and that we would joyfully offer them up because we long, we groan, and we ache, and we yearn to be with you. Lord, we are not satisfied here. This is not our home. And God, we want to be home. We want to be with you. And we want to be with you because we know you will wipe away the tears from our eyes, that you'll heal our hurts, that you can soothe our pains. And Lord, we know that everything that we go through is going to be worth it. And we know we will not be disappointed in what you have in store for us. God, forgive us for when we have forgotten it. And please encourage us and strengthen our faith to live for the hope that you've given to us. Eternity is going to be amazing. And we want it desperately. Help us walk through the times in our lives when our body just doesn't do what it's supposed to do anymore. And renew our inner selves as our outer self wastes away, so that we will be all the more resilient in our faith and in our longing to be with you. Lord, thank you for this hope. And Lord, thank you for reminding us that this is not life. And thank you for telling us that life is only coming. We pray this through your Son and our Savior Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing an invitation song. And I invite you to think about your hope. I invite you to think about where you are and how you look at life. And where have you put your priorities? And what are you longing for? And what is your great heart's desire? One of my favorite parables is the shortest parable, where Jesus just simply describes somebody who finds this amazingly great treasure in a field. And the scripture just simply says, in his joy, he sold all that he had. Not that he had to, not that it was required of him, but it was a joyful choice. He saw the treasure and gave it all up for it. I hope you'll see the treasure. Give your life to Jesus tonight. Follow him with all of your heart. And know with certainty a great reward awaits you. There's a building made by God that you will enjoy forever. Won't you come now while we stand and while we sing?
Gracious Father in heaven, we are mindful of you, that you are the creator of all things, and yet you care for us, Father, and that you are mindful of us, and that you love us, Father, and that you have our best interest at heart. We are so thankful, Father, for this time that we have to gather and to worship you, Father, and to hear a lesson brought from your word this evening. Father, we're so thankful for the fellowship that we share as believers, that even amongst many new faces, Father, we may not know everybody's name, but we are children of yours. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, Father, with our faith that we have in you. We are so grateful for that family you've blessed us with as we journey in this tent, Father. Father, we pray that you would help us to long for that eternal home. We are so thankful for the reminder this evening of what awaits us, Lord, and in such turbulent times that we live in, we pray that this hope would help put things in the right perspective for us. It would ease some of our fears that we have, Father, that we would not fear in you, Father, because you are with us. Father, we pray that as we leave here and go throughout the rest of our week, that we would be able to shine your light to those around us, that we could teach these truths to our children, that we could show others in our community, Father, how to serve you and what it means to be a child of yours, and that there's such a greater purpose waiting for us one day, Father. We thank you for these truths. We thank you again for your love. We thank you for Christ and his sacrifice, that our sins can be forgiven, Lord. It's in his name we pray. Amen.